that in the industry, labor, it is shared by the minister, and we have streams which we have identified. One of them is the industrial stability, transformation, growth and competitiveness, and sustainable development. And due to the recent job loss of situation which are taking place, this matter was discussed at the and it was then agreed that a task team should be formed. This task team has been formed and needs on a weekly basis to look at the situation and advise the minister. There are other processes that are looking at the long-term sustainability of the industry, but those are specific to commodities. There's got two critical ones. There's got the coal task team, and also has a platinum task team. And I thought they just what I did earlier on mention about the issue of living and housing conditions, I mean living conditions of mine workers. There is a program which is totaling 2.1 billion rand, and this money has been strengthened to address the issues of housing for mine workers and also communities around those mines. It's actually driven by the Department of Human Settlement. The breakdowns in respect of the amount is shown there. In terms of regulatory framework for the management of goods of job losses within the mining industry, as I said earlier on, the industry is a cyclical one. And this is due to fluctuation of commodity prices. And mining and mineral regulatory framework encapsulated in the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Development Act, which is the MPRCA, has built in mechanisms for the management of downscaling and retrenchment. In this regard, what is very critical there is section 52 of the MPRCA. In terms of this section, mining companies which contemplate to share jobs, they have to inform the department. And as part of management of job losses, mining companies must commit to in their social plan to establish effective and formalized future for us. What is important there is that each and every mining company must have a social and labor plan which is approved by the people. But also, within that, there must be future forum. This is a forum whereby the companies and workers sit around the table and discuss about the future of the industry. They could discuss issues around productivity, etc., how they can improve efficiency in the organization. And that is, I think, if that area is properly managed, it will actually contribute significantly in terms of managing job losses. What is very critical also is the issue of portable skills. Companies have to ensure that the portable skills which are provided to workers, it is very important. Even when people go on retirement, it's very important portable skills. It will go a long way in terms of economic, social economic development in the country. And just to touch on this, I mean, the department, when it comes to all issues of job losses, we will continue to drive the job losses issue through media. And we emphasize on that one because it is a framework where we can actually address all those issues which emanate from job losses. The objective of it is one, basically, is to save jobs. So the sessions are being convened with mining companies guided by the social and labor plan as part of management of housing. Currently, information we have now is that there are 19 companies that have the potential to share jobs. And the commodities which they are involved in are shown there, diamonds, granite, dolomites, this is the currency. dolomite, like almost like quarry, gold, manganese, platinum, coal, and limestone. Those are the commodities which are affected. But as we know that gold and platinum are the cheap to this issue. Provinces in Northwest, Gauteng, Limpopo, Northern Cape, Mpumalanga, Eastern Cape, and Eastern. And as a department, we intervene in line with Section 52. And what we do, we engage respective companies with the main objective of trying to save those jobs. And if there are no any other ways of saving those jobs, we look at alternatives. And we have done it in the past. 2 years ago, you might have been aware that Anglo-Platinum wanted to retrench 14,000 people. We engaged with them until we found a solution. The main solution, it takes a lot of hours of sitting around the table and finding a solution. And we're currently engaged with Optima, which is one of the 19 companies which have indicated that there's a potential of sharing jobs. We'll continue to engage them until we find a solution to this issue. Some observations here. I've touched on the first observation that it's our belief that the depressed commodity prices is contributing to this matter. Platinum and gold are the major employers, and the situation has a greater impact on this industry. And the other issue here is on what we found is that when these processes are taking place, there are some times whereby, you know, there is issue of companies not adhering to the process of Section 52. And those who don't adhere, we remind them that they have to adhere. But there are some who will find ways of not adhering or in circumventing the whole process. But as you know, in terms of Section 52, it only kicks in if you have got to retrench 500 people or 10% of your workforce. Some people just go through the 500, they don't have to address the issue of Section 52. But we continue to engage with such companies. In conclusion, the DMR, through the involvement of MINED as well as the Mineral and Petroleum Board, will continue to play an active role to save jobs in the industry. And the department will continue to involve all stakeholders and organized labor. The Department of Labor, in fact, we involve the Department of Labor together with CNA through our processes. Productivity South Africa is also a very important organization where we always bring them on board there. They will engage companies and find ways of improving productivity. The main objective is to try to create jobs. A process has been put in place to effect the alignment of the NPRD in Section 189 of Labor Resistance. As an example, Optium Coal Mine, which lost Section 52 notices and convened meetings, were attended by the Department of Labor and CNA, because we believe that there must be an alignment. It is actually give another example, of Anglo-Platinum, which I referred to earlier on. We dealt with Section 52 bosses, and after that, we then handed the matter to the CCMA, whereby the issue with the Section 189 process is followed. I thank you.
Okay, DJ, welcome, Honorable Stephen. Your presence is quite valuable. Honorable members, can we take a break? And have something for the money. Can I also request that our dear, very, very important guest first allow the members of the committee to lead us to that table. But you must be not like a camel. So and put something for the future. Just do it within 10 minutes, we'll have to be back here and proceed. So then we take that 10 minutes break and then prepare the questions of clarity. I decided, because I knew that when a meeting proceeds and everyone rushes to the table, we add up the attention no longer to be on what we're doing. So just bear with me, those that I requested that we just hold on, rather go all of us at once, rather than, because each one will stand up and everyone stand up, we end up not having a meeting, having the itching. So now you are free. Can you allow those honorable members to do so?
Are you also including those who have breakfast before the
You'll bear with me, PG. Sometimes parallel panel PG has got its own outcome. We've met a very old stage. So you'll bear with me. I those who live, they never knew that I was born in Port Elizabeth. And I grew up in the rural villages of a place called Tid. So, you know this thing of the old man, who, my father is a party. So, like a rural boy, every June, December, would want to go for holidays in the township. So he will always ask you to wash the car, you wash the car, take out the sheep and the goats, you do that, and you prepare that you are leaving for Port Elizabeth. The next thing, you will see the car going out of the gate, leaving you behind, and say you are late. Once you do those things. So I've learned that you will bear with me. I was the first one to eat, and when I'm done, probably everyone must be done. Even if you're stuck, I have a rule, unfortunately, so you'll bear with me, DJ, that even when you, when you're just in the middle of enjoying your meal, you have to now come. Honorable members, where is Mr. Mayor? a strange city. I said, three, you will make good parliamentarians in the future. As that and that. You will answer the questions if you have to back where you are. If anything that relates to you, how you say it, unfortunately, beyond my comprehension. And I remember we have started the presentations. Let me keep my contrast for now. Or my comment. Any questions of clarity, comment? Honorable Pignini, Honorable Rema, Honorable Esteban, Honorable Maslo, I fought with one honorable member last time. Honorable Machala. Is that the problem with the sometimes when you look at an older person, you may see that there is something that is bothering you rather raise your hand to such an extent I can see the difference between taking out what is disturbing you and raising your hand. I didn't know that you raised your hand, but accept my apology. Honorable Pignini, Honorable Stephen, Honorable Lori. Anyway, you are coming in a very good show. See, I should have said Pignini last or on this way. Anyway, Honorable Pignini, thank you very much. As I hear the situation, you really desire to say you need some kind of proactiveness in terms of dealing with this particular matter. I wish to really say it's a very knowledgeable question. How far are you with the intervention on choice? We might have some kind of a plan that is in place. We want us to believe that so that we're able to say that's the way that we think we're going to intervene on it, and how we're going to deal with that. We are sure of the fact that automatically it will always bear a positive result, that kind of intervention. That's our wish. I think in taking it further, we understand that there was the downscaling that we had in the past, and we were turning the court, and now we survive most of the things we sort of can't now. Now we really need that kind of intervention, Chair. That's how far away with that. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I apologize, I'm still writing. I wasn't really prepared for this meeting. Apart from that, apart from my handwriting being terrible, I forgot my glasses and I borrowed one of them to one of his bodyguards of Baba George's glasses. So I hope I can read what I've written so far. Andrew, there's no way that government has done enough, in my opinion, to aid the sustainable building of the mining sector. Amplus has announced a while ago that they were going to cut 14,000 jobs, which is a substantial amount of people to lose their jobs. Negotiations have taken place since then, and there is this announcement of Amplus was also made in very challenging economic times in this country. The Mineral Resource Minister came out strongly against this move and claimed that the company's mineral rights license would be scrutinized if they do that. In a democracy, I don't think this is the right way to approach a situation like that. Acting Public Minister, Mr. compared to us. I think, but after briefing, after the Kusatu March in Pretoria, where they demanded 10 or 15%, I'm not 100%, I think it was 15% a wage increase, the government can only afford 5.8%. Just because they can't afford anything more at this stage, in this economic climate. This this is also very negative to the sector. Globally also, the mining sector is facing the flow of effects of uncertainty, lack of confidence, as in this country. And now we've also heard the thing that mining, the mining industry must protect downstream businesses in this country, which is also a negative effect to the mining. The problem with industrial action in South Africa is often associated with violence, and therefore we need to show from this government to show some leadership. But Americana, mining will never be the same again. And I think we've all learned a lesson from that. And it also shows the lack of political leadership, actually. For one thing, Brazil created 17 million jobs. 17 million jobs. Brazil hasn't even got the resources that this country has. So it must be possible for us to negotiate, and we must be more investor-friendly. We must create confidence for both the employer and the employee. As I said, Marikana changed a lot in South Africa, and we need to look, have a real look at wage structure, living conditions, and also, don't get me wrong, xenophobia, God forbid that it ever happens again. But we must also look at foreign labor in this country. Mining companies can't bring in people from God knows where and paying them a minimal wage, and the community surrounding this mine then does not benefit at all from this. Thank you, Chief.
Thanks, Chair. Always good to be discussing what are really the most important issues in mining. Sometimes I wonder whether we don't do enough. Very interesting presentations, and I think they're not wrong. I think it is internationally a very tough time for mining, and we've got to recognize that. We also have to recognize that many of our mines are aging, grades are going down, and the necessity to mine deeper is there. However, two major points are missing from the assessment that we've heard today. The first one is the lack of confidence in South Africa's mining jurisdiction because of a lack of legislative certainty and because of harmful legislation. And secondly, problems caused by poor productivity. The DG mentioned talking to Productivity South Africa. I'm glad that's happening. I wonder if they'll be listened to. And let me expand what I'm saying. The NPRDA bill was passed a year ago. It's all stalled. Nothing is happening. We warned at the time that it was a bad bill, it was unconstitutional. The President agreed with us, Parliament doesn't. But the point being that the bill hasn't been passed, it's come back to Parliament, it may well change. I hope it does, but what it means is that miners are operating without certainty. We hear that the DTI is trying to overturn agreements on strategic minerals and the mine gate price, agreements that were reached after months of behind-the-scenes negotiation. I hope you just realize how serious this is. I'm going to quote Mark Kutifani, who is the CEO of Anglo American, which is the largest owner of South African mining assets. He says, to even think about putting in place a pricing regime that takes one of the bedrocks of the economy and subsidizes another industry that can't stand on its own two feet is absolutely crazy. The rest of the world is looking at us and saying, you guys are crazy. This is something we can't ignore, Mr. Jim. It's interesting. I mean, we look at this graph, how many people work mining. And the DG pointed out that there was a fairly big drop in the number of people who worked in mining until 2001-2002. More or less goes up again with some slight variations until 2012, when mining employment starts dropping again. Now, the DG is, I think, very over-optimistic about the NPRDA when he says that the initial climb in mining employment post-2001-2002 is because of the NPRDA. I would say that's not really correct. The only thing, the only part of it that is correct is that the NPRDA at least provided certainty. In the late 90s, there was a lot of talk about how mines would have to give up 50% of their equity, perhaps even more, to EEE investors. That meant that mining investors would take a bath. They all got out of mining. Employment dropped dramatically. Then at least there was certainty. The mining companies liked the NPRDA, particularly, but at least they knew what they were dealing with, so employment started going up. The moment that the changes to the bill are announced, and you can see right at the end of December 2012, mining employment starts going down again. This is not a coincidence. The other thing about mining in South Africa, you've heard it before, mining is a long-term investment. People have to put a lot of money in, they have to wait for maybe as much as 10 years before they even start getting any money back. So mines need to know what their costs are going to be 10 years down the line. They don't know that. Then they want to put their money there. It's too risky. They would rather put their money into manufacturing in Brazil or property in China or something else. It's just too uncertain if you don't know what your costs are going to be 10 years from now. And that's the problem with South Africa. We keep changing the rules. The other area of uncertainty is social labor bans. They sound good, but they're not sufficiently defined. Mines are under continual pressure. Do more. Provide fresh water. Build schools. Provide housing. And up to a point, mines do have a responsibility to do that. But the business of mines is to mine and then pay tax. Their primary business is not to become an agency of social delivery. And the reason they're being forced to do that is because local governments and other agencies are so weak at doing this in this country. Now, are the figures of mining employment correct? We've had some very scary figures. Just recently we've seen that Doornkop looks like it's closing down following Kasasalethu. Just looking at the reasons why the mine management say those are closing. Kasasalethu, they reckon there were certainly fires underground being started by illegal miners. And because the mine was so marginal, it just wasn't worth keeping open anymore. They announced the restructuring of Doornkop and the probable laying off of most of the workforce, and immediately there's a fire underground. What these figures don't report, and this is something I'm very interested in finding out more about, is other sectors. It's not the big companies. The big companies are quite easy to keep track of. I've been talking fairly recently to the Diamond Producers Organization, the organization that represents small diamond mines, mostly alluvial diamond miners. Their former president says that around the time of the NPRDA, there were about 24,000 people employed in the industry. That's down after 4,000. I can bounce to the second figure. I think that's correct. I don't know about the first one. Nobody seems to notice because these small mines are hard to keep track of. So I think the fall of employment is worse than we realize. Let's come to the second major point that I think is missing from this presentation, the issue of poor productivity. Now, productivity in terms of, let's take gold. Look at the amount of gold mined per worker. It's about the same in South Africa now as it was 70 or 80 years ago. Why is that? Well, part of it is because the grades are lower. We're down around 5-7 grams a ton. In those days, we're mining something like 8 or 9. Wages have increased dramatically. This is good. But just remember that mining in South Africa has historically been a brutal business. Management is brutal. That's largely changed. Not completely, but largely it has changed. Unions were also brutal. That hasn't changed. And that's the missing piece of the puzzle. continued since the dawn of democracy. They just talk as if they're in a war with management. I'm not making this up. I want to look at the Twitter feed of the NUN. Tweet yesterday says, the mining oligarchy, which is management, on the offensive, cutting back jobs and destroying the livelihood of most families. Go onto the website of the NUN. Where there's an article accusing management of genocidal practices against workers. Now, if you tell workers day after day that management is trying to kill them, are people surprised when workers are radicalized? Why is it a surprise to the NUM that ACU was formed? The NUM spends years telling workers that management is trying to kill them, and then workers look at the NUM and settling with management and they say, you are fighting our corner. We need something more radical. You can't talk war and expect peace. Unions continue to resist changes to employment practices. Working hours, working days, they must have breaks. Same as the past. Pay may have improved, but productivity hasn't. Now, there's an argument that our minds getting old, yes, that has some validity. And our minds need to go deeper, yes. The technology is improving. And remember, we've only taken out about half of all the gold that is estimated to be underground in South Africa. A century of mining and we've only taken a half. The rest is there. The problem is, it costs more. But it's still there. So, I appreciate the presentations talking about the ways to mitigate job losses. And I think that's good as far as it goes. But remember what we're sitting on. It's not just all that gold. It is the most unbelievable mineral wealth. And for us to not be making more of it, to not have greater export fillings, to not have much larger numbers of mining jobs, indicates failure. In terms of the mineral richness, if you look at the proposed Ivanplats mine, which has started up in Limpopo. They're mining platinum. They're going after an amazing reef. I mean, in a platinum field, they're mining something like a reef. I think I might be saying it's about 80 centimeters wide. That's been enough to build our platinum industry. The reef at this new mine is in some places 27 meters wide. It's not just platinum and platinum group metals. It's also nickel, copper, gold. All that is done there. That's incredibly rich. That should be driving the country's economy forward, but it's not. And we have to look very carefully at why it's not. So mitigating against job losses is great, but the best way to do this, to improve socioeconomic conditions of people in mining communities, is to keep those mines open and to keep those mines growing. And we have to look at why that's not happening.
Thank you, Travis, and let me welcome the presentation. My question is based on the relationship between mining companies and GMR, because I think if this was done before, I think the strategy that the GMR is bringing to resolve all these kinds of things, if could have happened before, we could have not been in this situation. And are we only resolving, making sure there's no more job loss, or are we resolving the job that has been already lost? Because I see that the mid-cap have only set on the 15th of May, and then you see the on the table that shows us how many jobs have been lost on 2014. So I just want to know the relationship. When there is a job loss, or mine wants to cut people, are they not informing GMR before, so that there will be negotiations? That's my question. And then the other thing is, I think we are only dealing with big companies, and in small companies, this is where manipulation is being done. I think GMR is saving all the mining companies in the country and how many people they have. I think the job losses are not only on the companies, they are also on small companies, of which that is where my interest comes in for if it's depending on the big fish, what about the smaller fishes? So I think we should come up with it, because we welcome the things, but if it was done before, we wouldn't have been in this situation. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I thought we must not bring the politics of the union to this meeting. Loom and Abu are not representing them in this meeting. We are representing 54 million people of South Africa. The population of South Africa up to today, Honorable Lori, is 54 million. And people who are in this parliament, they are dropping the ocean. They are 400. And these 54 million people that serve us here to address the needs and the interests of the entire population of South Africa. But if we're going to sit the chair and discuss about Loom and AMCO the whole day, what will be the role of these unions in their own areas of work? Will be taking their work, will be representing them in this parliament, which is wrong. If the Honorable Rosemont would want a workshop about Loom and whatever, you will have to maybe ask some of those comrades who are involved in the union activities, not here. Sure, thank you, Chair. The questions, Chair, that I want to raise might sound similar to the one raised by colleagues before me, because I always, when the start the last Lord to talk about this thing, but anyway, it's fine. As a veteran, I was obliged. The DG spoke about the special task team that is going to assist in the processes of these workers that are faced with. I'm not quite sure as whether in that task team, I don't know who are part of the task team. I was very happy if I but know who are those that are forming the special task team to deal with the issues faced by our workers here, the mine workers. The other one, Chair, relates to this human settlement project implementation. That's what you said, there are 66 projects are being implemented, but then I wanted to check with the DG and the department as to whether is this thing going to benefit the mine workers and the ex-mine workers. The other one said the issue that I wanted to raise clearly is the initiatives to address socio-economic conditions of mine workers. That this includes these mine workers, the current working mine workers, and or the ex-mine workers in those provinces that you mentioned of. The follow-up is doing my question. The last one, Chair, where is it? This is my follow-up. Let me go to the other one, Chair. It relates to the status of the mining industry in South Africa. That the recent declining employment levels in the mining industry is attributed to a number of factors, which includes the global economic challenges. What is the future of mining in South Africa compared to China? I think the last one is Mafola. Just messed up my error for Mafola.
Yeah, sure.
This is the problem is next to the Honorable Mafolo. When we are dealing with this sort of situations, sometimes still my question. So, well, it's but during the church, I can't say my last question, but I will make a follow up if it might be given that time. Thank you, sir. There is a pressure, yes, sir. Adam has put out the best of the people that see you. Thank you.
Did you? Not sure whether you'd be able to answer that or not. Let's hear from you.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chair. There is an issue raised by Honorable Chin on proactiveness to dealing with them, to deal with this matter. And how far are we in terms of our intervention? Yes, I think the proactiveness is actually an integral part of how we manage downscaling in the mining industry. And earlier on, I talked about the issue of social and labor plan. But each and every mine should have a social and labor plan. This is intended to address the proactiveness of dealing with issues relating to the downscaling. And Honorable Mafolo also raised this matter. He said, when do you come on board? Do you come in after people have been retrenched or not? Now, we're saying that through this social and labor team, mining companies have got to have a plan to manage their day. And within that, they must have what is called future forums. Future forums are forums whereby companies should be organized and discuss business issues relating to the operation of the mine, issues relating to the future of the mine. So those the system of ensuring that the social development is meant to address the proactiveness in this regard. I will give you an example, like Optimum I referred to earlier, the moment that they indicated to us that look, we've got this challenge, our team came on board and called them and engaged them. Even tomorrow, we're going to be a meeting tomorrow to engage Optimum on this issue. And the objective of the association is to save jobs. So we sit down around the table with mining companies and say, how can we save jobs? It works in some instances where you find that, you know, when ideas are put on the table, the mining companies say, oh, yes, okay, we re-look at it. You know, then they come with the processes. So it has happened in the past. Sometimes we look at perhaps looking at the people being transferred to other operations within this company. So we look at various alternatives. And when you look at the issue of two major points, which I think he touched on the issue of legislation and productivity. Certainly, it is important to have certainty in the legislation. I mean, that is given. It is given. But you are aware of the process. The process is currently in Parliament. And I'm sure it will be aggressively given a priority by Parliament. The department will always be available to come on board. But I want to touch on what you raised earlier on around the MPRDA, of saying that the MPRDA did not necessarily arrest the decline in employment. It did. If you can do an analysis of how many platinum mines were operating prior to 1994 and now, this is a totally different body. The amount of ground of companies which came on board, they increase production, they employ people. That is why, if you look at that graph, you'll see that employment in the platinum industry was increased. And the heart of that is that the policy of the principle of use it or lose it. Because if the policy was not in place. I doubt this would have been a good thing in employment in Platinum. You talk about the whole issue of reliability of the data. The data is certainly reliable, and we work with that every on the data. In fact, the graph I showed you here in terms of the growth in the mining industry, that information comes from FSA. So we work very closely with them, and the data is quite significant in that it captures large companies. So I think the reliability of the data is a kind of question. We are quite comfortable that currently employment is around 500,000 employees. It's not a static figure. It will change. You know, every month some companies maybe may shed jobs, some companies might employ people. So it is there. It is correct. The data is correct. In terms of the future of the industry, it is important. I want to read this one. The important thing is to address the geological infrastructure of the country. Because that is where you grow the industry. And government has put in place initiatives to ensure that there is a program which is run by the country producers, whereby they are flying the country, they are remitting the country, and that is aimed at attracting investment into the industry. And I'm sure it will bring a positive story. It was earlier on research, where are we now in terms of mineral resources of South Africa compared to other countries like China? We are leading in terms of the mineral wealth, which is in the ground, world number one. In fact, a study was done which indicated that the mineral wealth of the country is worth $2.5 trillion, just like what is known out there. So we are a very fortunate country when it comes to mineral. But there is still potential to discover more. Southern Group Metals, whatever project which you referred to earlier on, it is an indication of what is still in the ground of South Africa. It's not known what happened. We geologists came together and thought about this matter and discovered this huge deposit. So we still have a potential to discover new deposits. And that information I talked about in the country for today will address the matter. I think Honorable Makana mentioned the issue of special testing. Who are in the special testing? We have got organized business in the form of SAMLA is there, with Solidarity, with Kotiwasa, and GMR participate in this organized, in this special testing, which is looking at the jobs. And as I said earlier, it meets on a weekly basis to look at the issues which are confronting the country and with giving advice to the minister. The issue of 66 projects being implemented, I will ask the DGT to respond to them. Basically about the 2.1 billion, which is giving sense to improve the socio-economic conditions of the mining town.
Thank you, DG. The project referred to in the funding for the special presidential package, not only do they cover host communities or communities identified within the mining town covered by the special presidential package, but in an integrated manner, it also seeks to incorporate the mine worker so that the settlements that are then developed move away from the past practice of having mine units which are not integrated into the community. But if you allow me to respond to a few other questions. There was a question asked by Honorable Mafolo pertaining to the focus in saving jobs or addressing the shedding of jobs where we appear to be focusing on big money. And the response we want to give is that we, in saving jobs, we're also taking a risk-based approach that focuses on those mines that are shaping more jobs without leaving out the small ones, because the big mines employ many of us, against the small mines, some of which may be operating almost like on a seasonal basis. Just so that in terms of numbers of jobs that we're able to save, we can have a better index. Then there was a comment also made by Honorable Loring pertaining to the flexibility of social and labor plans and the concern that there are increasing demands in place on mines. What I want to highlight with regard to social and labor plans is the fact that this plan, upon the right being approved, get notarized and registered as part of the long-term agreement, and they are updated every 5 years. What we also need to highlight is that lessons learned arising from the implementation of the special presidential project in areas such as Greater Kukun and so on has fostered the partnership between the mining industry and stakeholders in the form of government, where as part of the review of the social labor plan, parties have come on board guided by the specific needs of the localities, so that when they do amend their social labor plan in a related manner, it is done with a view of ensuring that there is better alignment with the needs of those communities. Then the other point, obviously, this process is being coordinated a little better to ensure that there's a greater impact in covering the wider area as against the local municipalities.
Thank you, Chairperson. There was also an issue of this by Honorable McLeod on this initiative to address social economic conditions, whether did they address matters relating to current mine workers or ex-mine workers. They address both questions about the social economic conditions of mining towns. So in those mining towns, we find ex-mine workers. Current workers. But of importance also is that they also address the situation in labor sending areas where you also find ex-mine workers and the current mine workers. The issue of, there was an issue which was raised of saying we are expecting mining companies to protect downstream beneficiaries. I don't think that is the intention of the policy. The intention is to ensure that mining companies make available mineral products for mineral, for local beneficiaries. I think that is the most important thing. It's not about protecting downstream beneficiaries. They must make sure that beneficiation takes place in the country. It must be part of this process of driving the manufacturing industry of South Africa. And there are many ways in which those things can be addressed. In fact, mining Pakistan, which is going to take place soon, will be looking at some of these issues that the President stated in his State of the Nation address, that there are a win-win situation. I think we all have, if you talk to the mining companies, they agree they all have the same objective of ensuring that we industrialize South Africa. So we need to find one another and get and ensure that the winning situation is achieved.
Okay. Before I give you the second bite, from the chair's point of view, I know we're dealing with a very sensitive matter, but I think that's a great honor, because may be misconstrued. And when there is an argument that says, at least now we're dealing with serious matters, as if previously the issues that the Commission has dealt with were not serious matters. It may depend on the degree of emphasis and of the challenge. What is it that we are dealing with? But I'm saying I always very careful that the one issue I always say advisedly, let me use this word, sometimes irritates me, is when someone distorts what I am saying in order to triumph on what he or she wants to say. So I don't like to distort someone, but I'm saying a misconception may arise that there's a commit to have not been dealing with serious matters. And the best of my account is that quite a number of issues that this committee has dealt with were serious matters. So that also even another person who may not be here may not say, oh, it means our issues from that committee were not taken as we can count them. One of those issues that we have dealt with is sure. The second thing I think is that, and I always raise this thing, that as individuals in committees, we cannot deny, and I want to emphasize this point, that we are all here because we come from different political backgrounds and from different political parties. But what we can do as a committee, which sometimes is a risk, is when we deal with a matter, we end up dealing with matters that may not take us to the point. There is an idiom in Xhosa that says, if uvusumvozi uyeka umvozi, ungabuxoshi luqala, ubusuyawuyeka umvozi ubusungena kuqhambo leqoqala. In simple terms, that if you go for hunting and you see a rabbit and you're chasing the rabbit, and then what do you call this thing? You see an alligator. You don't turn away from the rabbit you are chasing and now go for the alligator, because that was not your primary target. I want us to appeal to honorable members. Let's deal with the issues so that we can be able to help and assist in trying to mitigate and find solutions. But the second point, and I must say, is that I know honorable Matala is very old. A little bit old. Sometimes it gets irritated by some issues. But my language will not be the same as what you use with the language. But I think let's take the primary point. You know, the difficulty is when I was once in a meeting and somebody stood, then I got something outside the meeting. Somebody said, yeah, I heard that in that meeting they were talking about me. And I said, no, but it was just a statement in passing. Now, the meeting was reduced to be a meeting about somebody. And you needed to clarify this thing. And that person was not in the meeting. And I said, the risk is that we're elevating that individual to a point that we can all of us sit and discuss about. Now, it's very difficult sometimes. Now, one of the issues for me that I think are critical for all of us as committee members is that once we start a blame game, who is responsible for what and who is responsible for what, it actually is our objectivity from the word book gets clouded, because those individuals are not part of the meeting. And in the process, we may end up now saying, can I get an opportunity to come and clarify myself? Not to deal with the substantive matter, but to help others. And I don't want us to go to that debate, because somebody want to raise a point and say, And I must say, I'm not taking anything away from you, Honorable Lord. But I'm going to answer the issue and said, if somebody goes out and say, we must castrate and cut those things for those who continue to rape her, and that's a woman who rapes. And the one who continues to rape keep quiet. Will you then blame the statement that being made by a woman who continuously gets raped and say the statements they make are actually putting a finger directing the indirect, it may sound that you are given a justification. The fact of the matter, retrenchments by their very nature are brutal. So we shouldn't go to that extent to not want to meet to justify whose cause. The reality is that in this case, an argument will come and say the mere fact that the mining management is keeping quiet doesn't mean they stop retrenching. So you can make whatever your statements, no matter how inflammatory they are, reality will keep quiet because we'll continue to do what we're doing. But the risk is that all of us now, we end up not being seen objective in dealing with even that argument on its very nature is not being subjective because it's saying if you blame this, I'll blame this one. I think it's quite critical. But the other is that I think it's quite important is that what the department is, to the best of my knowledge, is doing, it's on the basis of what mandate it does have. I think if then we have to deal with the issues, other matters, and which I think for me, they are actually not addressing us to the problem, is that we will run a risk of others being defensive or clarifying and others being trying to expose and punch holes on another night. I'm not sure how far that will take us. The last one that I think is just an area of sensitivity is that, let's agree, I don't think there's a doubt, and I think it's highly possible that being smaller in the industry, there would be a lot of these activities taking place where people jobs get shared. But what it becomes on a particular magnitude scale, it becomes an issue that is no other, there is no way you can deny that there's a problem, because you can see. And therefore, at times the interventions that you make or the interest that you have, it will be on the basis of the magnitude of the problem that you have. And I think the committee has to also be sensitive to that matter. It is at the level where it is going. So I thought, but we can flag for me some of those issues. I'm not sure here whether we can be able to deal with them to the exhaustion without first subjecting ourselves to what becomes the real challenge. And the real challenge remains this one. I'm trying not to say I'm closing people not to respond to some of the issues, but I could see we will end up moving completely away from some of the challenges. But as I said, in some of the areas that one would have said. For an example, can we sit here and be certain that we now know what is the cause of the crisis of job losses? Can we say we have certainty? Can we have certainty around the issue of the commodity crisis? Or there is a decline on supply side or on the demand side of the commodity crisis? For example, still in the report of the DG, there is a strong argument which allows it can't be the only, that your primary trading partner, specifically on those mineral commodities, has been China. And since 2008, the demand side has been on the decline. And on those basis, it will have a direct bearing on how you face challenges in your domestic level. So I'm saying we may have all these different interpretations of the situation. But one issue that I think for me we should take responsibility, all of us, collectively, is that it's an industry generally that of late has not had stability. What for me, my appeal, remember, is that regardless of our own conviction, we should be careful to say when we are striving for that, we then start to call petrol in that environment that is quite volatile. But I'm not limiting members. If we would want to take that discussion, that's why I've even closed in counter arguments on the matter, because I think we'll have to require another appropriate forum where we now deal and crystallize those issues, including what has been even has emerged around transformation of the industry itself. Whether there's a consequence, we're not faced with those particular challenges. Let's deal, but then, once I'm not limiting members, but also not restricting members, I would really want us to deal more with issues of political flavor rather than with issues of economic challenges that we are supposed to impact on. But I'm leaving this thing, I'm raising this thing before I could give honorable members the second part, that we should also understand, because I wouldn't want someone to make me comment and then the other one is not given an opportunity and then say, oh, somebody has outside draws a conclusion that part of what this committee has dealt with was a disadvantaging argument that they never had an opportunity to do so. In all the stakeholders, in the final analysis, not one, but in all the stakeholders. But let me give honorable members a second bite. Honorable Mafona.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the for giving my statement. I think DDG, you tried to answer me on this thing of small mines. I think what do you do to monitor that these people, because of, they are also the workers, the mining employees of those companies. When you are saying we are just focusing on this big one because of the employment, they employ more people than the other. Let me just ones. Are we just saying, let's leave them, it's okay, they are small, they are doing what? What are we making sure, what are we doing to make sure that we also defend their jobs? Thank you.
Okay. Just a few issues, DJ, that I think for me they are quite critical. Firstly, some of these issues, I think they may not be matters that you... There may not be matters that you may not have highlighted. I think one of the areas for me that becomes areas of concern is that the presentation doesn't seem to be dealing with what is the problem. If I were to say in detail, I always make this example to say, if, for example, you go to agriculture, agriculture does not support jobs. Agriculture will support the crisis that they might be faced with, whether it's drought, whether it's what do you call this, is your protection laws on other countries, whether it's about the cost, in this case could be seeds, and so forth. Now, you then have to deal with those issues. The report, I can either, it's correct, it highlights what are the problems. But in terms of how it tackles the problem, it seems to be tackling the problem of, I would say, the end of the process, which is the output, which is the job process. The intervention from the department doesn't seem to be trying to act proactive. The points that honorable members have raised, they don't seem to be a platform. It may be from different angles that deals with those issues.
For an example, the point on the crisis or challenge of commodity pricing, building investor confidence. We know some of these issues they rely mostly here. There could be other factors to be determined on. I think that is the first point, that it's not that the issues are not there, but the way they are put, I don't know how to say it, they seem to be scattered, but they don't seem to be saying they are thoroughly coordinated. The second part is that, the second issue that I think is important, just to also look at it, is that, I don't think it might be difficult, if one was to ask it differently, to what extent is there a relationship on the three main interventions that you highlighted? There's the issue of the presidential package, there's the issue of the framework agreement, then there's the issue that relates to what's that? Your meter. The risk, it seems to me, is quite high. That while these issues are dealing separately, there could be a risk of failure to coordinate what is being done in terms of the main three areas. Particularly on the basis that the actual focus is not on job losses, but it's on sustainability of the industry. I'm not sure how, in terms of trending, whether is there a synergy. The third point is that I think we must. I may not agree with the first part, but I think we must agree. Because part of the recommendations have to look at that, which is why I was raising the issue of proactive engagement, the point of legislative strategy. We have to look at that. So I thought it was going to be a matter that also the report would seek to respond to. But if you are denied, sometimes it's easy to say the MPRDA without seeing the interventions post the actual, because the rest becomes amendment. And I don't think we should run away to look as to whether the interventions, it may not be the interventions themselves, but it may be the manner of the interventions that have been approved. I'm just saying, I know it's one area I'm raising this thing because, for me, at the area of managing job losses, it's like coming at the chain end. You are managing what already would have been decided. Linked to this is to what extent, because I thought it could be important, among the slides that you have put, there is an issue of the future forum. But obviously there is no level of, I would have thought in the process, there would be clear programs on how to activate, if there is an area where, how to activate, what are the limitations, and what requires to be done. I'm not sure on the issue. First, my biggest challenge is on the legislative front, is the issue of your section 189 and your section 52 of the FRDA and section 189 of the Labour Relations Act. How much work has been done to create synergy between the two? Which one takes precedence over the other? But more than that, to what extent do you create synergy in either way? And the extent of the level of authority. I think that area will require to some degree a little bit of clarity. The The last thing I think is important just to I have that a sense just to get a sense of three areas. The first one, in what extent has there been cooperation? The level of cooperation amongst the stakeholders. In order to mitigate this challenge. But also linked to that, understanding the magnitude of the problem. I can't find something here and I must say this, that can help all of us to put our heads on the desk. I don't want to sit here as a committee and say maybe we talk about this or we talk about that. But I can't get a sense, except to say the department is intervening. I can't get a sense of collective wisdom that is being put together. Honorable Lorima, for example, raised the issue about our trade laws. You may have your labor laws on the other side, and you may have departmental laws. Has there been a consideration by the department to deal with the actual problem, not with the outcome or the consequences as a result of the problem? Without taking away the issues of self-sustainability in terms of the three focus areas, unfortunately those three focus areas for me, they seem to be just happening. You can't get that there's a projection of a forum where collective wisdom from different areas can be put together so that a clear direction of what should constitute the way forward. I don't want to deal with the issues that say sometimes they create a problem, whether it's a social path, but I'm not dealing with that. I'm saying, is there an envisaged environment where these issues can be dealt with and agree on a clear framework? I didn't want to respond to that. Unfortunately, Honorable Stephen is not here. Maybe we'll deal with that issue if it does arise, but I don't think we should just ignore it. I hope I had him correctly. And as much as you are saying it's not xenophobic, it sounded exactly like that to me, on foreign labor. The worst thing is that, truth be told, mining in this country, or mineral wealth in this country, primarily has been built at the back of foreign labor also. We can't pretend it has never happened. Now, we can't say only 11 hours and start to think. And by the way, we'll have a lengthy discussion with some other day, even about the boundaries that now seems to be arguing about as to who created them. But the discussion maybe for those who go for international relations and so forth. But I don't think at this hour we should even start to think about that. After so many accumulated years, the reality that some of these countries have been so poor to an extent that we use their labor, but we invaded them when it was convenient for us. So my question is that maybe I misunderstood him. Let me first make that concession. If I misunderstood him, maybe we'll get the clarity. Unfortunately, made an approach that he has been summoned by his party, the leader of his party. But I don't want us to live with that impression that we have a problem with foreign aid. It's worse if it's in the mining industry. Because the entire southern region, all what it has done was to supply aid and benefit very little or close to nothing out of that wealth that you have produced in this disorder. But I thought that you can respond to some of the errors. Because for me, what I think is very critical is what will constitute way forward. Because we don't want to come here For example, your Section 52 talks about 10% or 500. Now, if I look here, somebody says I'm representing 474. And you cannot intervene if the 474 is below 10%. Then that's the next month after that, he returns another 482. You cannot say must come back for less than 10%. So it actually means somewhere, even what you put as percentage, may not necessarily be the ceiling in terms of the guidelines. But you can answer it.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think your point has been noted in respect of the interventions which have to be put in place and the proactiveness of the whole thing. The way we presented our presentation, we focused on the immediate challenge which we are facing as a country and what we have. The whole issue around jobs. So I will focus on explaining how the process works when it comes to social and labor based, when it comes to issues around Section 52. I agree with you that there are other interventions which have to be put in place in terms of ensuring that we have a sustainable mining industry in the long run. And then such issues, I did touch on some of them. I think I was responding to earlier questions. Some of the issues will be to look at the whole value chain of the mining industry, starting from upstream, greenfield environment. That's why I was mentioning that there are initiatives to ensure that we enhance the geological information of the country, so that the country should have specific initiatives to address them, and also in terms of research around mining and mineral processing, where we've got CSR, and also we do have links to ensure that we stimulate the industry for the long-term sustainability. But also what is important, we also have initiatives in terms of aging value to our mineral, touching on the issues of efficiency. Some of the proposals which are in the Act are aimed at addressing that, and in the bill are aimed at addressing that. But the PAKISA process, which the President announced, will be addressing the issue of beneficiation in a much more detailed manner, where he said that a win-win situation should be developed. And when it comes to issues of legislative certainty that we have mentioned earlier on, from our side as a department, we are available to provide any information which Parliament may require in terms of that. And on issues around future forums, what needs to be done? I think what is important is each and every mining company in South Africa has a future forum. So if people don't comply with that, the regulator will act in terms of that. It's a compliance matter. People have to have in terms of the FRPA. On the alignment between the Section 189 and the Section 52, which one can see, I think what is critical here, Jefferson, is that there's no legal framework which basically governs this alignment. And I think it's one area where we can actually work on it and strengthen legislation to address this alignment. Currently what's happening, we have an understanding with our colleagues from the Department of Labor so that they allow this process of Section 52 to be completed. We in fact invite them in an instance to the CCMA, they come. We invite them, they monitor our process. Once we've finished the process of Section 52, we then hand it over to them to implement Section 189 process. The level of cooperation from stakeholders, yes, it's important. And you know, the history of the mining industry is that we always work together.
white people to develop, the new phone simply the NPRPA, we work together in terms of health and safety, we work together. Even when it comes to issues of job loss, we need to work together. We'll be so much stronger if we don't work together. Secondly, some stakeholders have got concerns in terms of the testing which the minister has created, but we will engage with them and ensure that they are all on, they come on board, because it's a very important thing. If we have got to solve the issues around Liverpool, we need all the ideas put together so that we can advise the minister. On the issue of going forward, the task team will be meeting, they will be meeting also this week, and they will be proposing recommendations to the minister. And those recommendations we will share them with you once the minister has but those recommendations will definitely provide the way forward. And I agree with you, we need to find a way of ensuring that we bring on board as many people as we can to ensure that we address all the pertinent issues that will be to the leaders. I'll ask the DBG Rochelle to add this.
Honorable members, you see, no member is supposed to privatize another member. So you are all individually responsible for being here. Let's respect the freedom of speech of other members of the community. Now I'm just making a general open statement. Honorable members, my view is that one, we must respect, although because we must also recognize the fact that the internet, if one is to use that processes, that even the ourselves we must respect. Among those is that there are parties that are commenced on collective bargaining, so that we are not seen to be trying to interfere with those processes. Also, the department is engaging on, if one were to say, is intervening, but is trying to assist parties to find a solution on the understanding. Thirdly, I think we must agree that between ourselves and the department, there has to be a facilitated process that will be quite open for all those who have got interest to deal with the outside problem. I don't want to say what should be the word or whatever of that. Amongst other issues and the points that you have been raised by honorable members, I think we must agree, especially in terms of the challenges facing the industry. We need to create that space. Initially, we're supposed also to have the portfolio committee on labor. Unfortunately, we are overseas on a matter that is related to the committee itself. So that we can be able to fight. But I think on the intervention that the honorable members have made here, we might have to consider also trade and industry so that we can be able to deal quite thoroughly with some of those issues. But can we also assign the department in the meantime to look at consideration of a much more broader platform where we can deal with the substantive issues, not the consequences of those issues. But it's another thing also ourselves as the committee we must persist with in terms of what has to be the actual approach. I think for me dealing with the cons
consequences does not take us out of the actual challenge, where we put everything under 1% and deal with those issues once and for all, and agree from there. Agree to disagree on certain areas, but also agree on what should be the way forward in relation to that. On that note, I think you are released from the stand, EJ. Whether you are guilty or not, we'll keep defending. For now, I'll make the judgment later. My friend, honorable my friend, you want to close the meeting?
No, I'm not undermining your authorities, honorable chair.
I hope so.
No, I'm not. I should have spoken before you, but I was intimidated by the honorable Mrs. Mafolo. You know, this matter that was raised here today, that even by newspapers, when it comes to this job losses and all this stuff, it's a very serious matter that the people attended to. Whether there will be a forum next time or two, three years to come, it's a very serious matter. In my proposal, in my own view, I would suggest that maybe the next meeting, not next week, but the next meeting, before the end of this term, or before the end of, before the end of this year, we might have to get a report from the department with regards to these issues that was raised by themselves about this job losses. A program of some sort that, insofar as these issues are, this is how they dealt with them in this manner, a program, different stages, a time frame of some sort. Because I'm afraid if we are not doing this stage, we are not being doing it just the manner in which we will satisfy, even though we are not satisfied ourselves. But let's have a time frame of the issues raised by the DG and the department here. So that the next meeting when it comes, they will then say, no, with regard to this, this is how far we are. Because I'm afraid the question raised by the Honorable Vicky Lee might arose the next meeting. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, for putting your time. Let me congratulate you for the statement that you have issued. We really support you on that. Thank you.
Remember, we take the point, we'll incorporate the point that what we can, that's the point we're raising. What we can't do is to create an impression that this is a one-off thing. But it's our responsibility to make sure that an overarching intervention is something that is sort of when you attend to that. But I'm sure also the department knows that we will have to develop that program. I think we must also agree. I know there is anticipation. I've learned from experience. I'm not saying that won't happen. But let your operation officer not come when everything is gone. So that process must take us so that you can see your optimism about Pagisa. But now, we are in water. That's the point. We're standing on water now. Let's see that track, that this is how we are moving to what we think at the end, the final analysis. But I think it's more of an intense work that we really need. And I agree, we can't just leave it. That's why I was making that concrete proposal to say, surely as a department, they must lead, even if they lead with other departments, but also as a committee, we must lead the process of ensuring that this matter is really receive the serious attention that we have committed ourselves to be doing. On that note, honourable members, can we go to announcements? It's unfortunate sometimes we might have to discuss the announcements, regrettably. I have been speaking to the secretary, I never had an opportunity to see the House Chair. The reason is quite simple. It's up until this hour. We're not sure what going to be the way forward, whether you are going
on the status quo or not, the Western, how many, and what criteria, whether it's still going to be this committee. Now, we want to just inform members. I like relaxing, but I don't like relaxing for the sake of doing it. And I'm sure with those active members, so active members of the committee, that's one thing that they don't wish. Now, I spoke to the secretary and the other office personnel, especially the researcher and the content advisor, that in the event, first, I don't like to talk about my personal view, but my personal view is that it may not be advisable to take a study tour now. Only 18 days. In fact, now, today, we're only 17 days to that. And remember, you are going to the U.S., not anywhere. So within 18 days, then 17 days now, there's no clarity whether we're going well with you. That. Let's just go back to the House Chair, call this study tour off, and rather do an oversight to Mpumalanga as a committee, which will be during that period. But we think it's important to share it with members, because it seems this one. But also based on the presentation that was made last week, not to say there is no urgency, it seems it's a matter that at least we can pack and deal, if we deal with it, and deal mostly with what is internal, or is domestic, or is local, in terms of that plan. Because if we was, if I listen very well, all of us were listening anyway. For that, effectively, we are looking at, no, it's not time. Effectively, it actually means that the actual process, if it, that might kick in, it will be in 2 years' time, which is more or less 2 years. So it means we still have got a year. And in that year, if we want to explore this exercise, we can still be working locally, including issues that relate to, even if we're not going to those areas, because you won't see anything, but mechanisms to deal with the matter internally, including if we look at the area itself where this is going to take place. But I'm saying that's a later issue. So we're suggesting that it seems that process of the study talk and wait and be planned properly. Now we're suggesting that we should undertake the oversight to Mpumalanga specifically. That is the report we can give, honorable member. That one, it means we are not going to be split. We will just go with, if it's approved, we'll just go with the committee. There will be no split with this committee and that committee. We'll be doing an overall. You remember the initial one, there's an issue that there are four committees affected, not one, which is what also I think complicates matters. Any comment? I was going to say, I read the interview by the former President Nelson Mandela, and he asked that a journalist, have I paralyzed you? You seem to be hypnotic. No, you can't close. There's a view on the table. You close the view. You propose closure on the view.
Thank you very much. I wish to. I think it's your reasoning, sir. Your reasoning. The issues here, the full of the talk. I wish we had said that. Secondly, I think those who are ready to be to go to overseas, they will go next year. Not now. So those who are in the thirdly, I wish also to agree on this program in Mpumalanga, that we need really to do something. We can't sit in the left. I think there are a lot of challenges. We need to score in here and try a way how we are going to do it.
thing. You are highly, I don't want to say, but it affects you. Very
and
your capacity to concentrate is highly compromised. Yeah, next time. Okay, on that note, Honorable Members, I guess we will do our level best, but we have to do something. We're not going to be sitting and not doing nothing. The committee stands adjourned. Thank you.